There is no greater verse in the Bible than we read today in verse 6. He is risen, he is not here. What if he never rose? He is risen. Powerful, life-changing, calendar-changing verses. A verse. It must be, you know, everyone must make a decision about it. He is risen. If he is, then you better believe. If he isn't, then he was a liar. But we know he had many eyewitnesses. He is risen. Jesus told his disciples he would die and rise from the dead. Let's go through that. Matthew 16, verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed, and be raised the third day. Is that pretty clear? Matthew 17, verse 22 and 23. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. But that's pretty clear. What about Matthew 20, verse 18? "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again." Do you think they got it? Luke 9, verse 22. Saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed and be raised the third day." And in our book of Mark, which we're in, let's go back to verse 8, chapter 8, not too long ago. Chapter 8, verse 31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again." And then in Mark 10, verse 32. "Now they were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, the scribes. They will condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." That's quite a prophecy. How many times do you have to tell someone something before they get it? He said, "I'm going to die and rise." Surely, if this were to happen, where he would be condemned to death, die, surely if that would happen, those close to Jesus would believe he's going to rise. Just like when he tells us something, we can be sure of it. The disciples should have been eagerly awaiting and anticipating great things on that third day, shouldn't they? They should be, "Wow, it happened. Hey, it's the third day. Let's get up early and go and see him walking around." Let's see. Why not? Why weren't they waiting? Verse 1 and 2. "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen." The women came early in the morning. Why? To anoint the body. Did you ever wonder why they didn't believe he wouldn't be there? He said he would rise. A lot of times we miss the characters of the resurrection story, and we look at Jesus. But if you look at the characters other than Jesus in the story, you see us. Even the women who sometimes are blessed and talked about good for what they did, but realistically, they should have been waiting for the resurrection. They were ready to anoint the body. First day of the week, Sunday, the Lord's Day. They think Jesus is still in the tomb. It doesn't seem like they believed the words of Jesus. I will admit, rising from the dead is a very hard thing to believe. That was very hard to believe. That someone would rise from the dead doesn't seem possible humanly. And they were wondering in verse 3, they said in verse 3, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? Hey, who's going to roll away this large stone so we could get in and anoint the body of Jesus? Have you ever worried about or stressed over an issue that was beyond your capability or capacity to work out? Wonder how it's going to happen? That's where they're at. We want to anoint the body of Jesus, but we can't get in. First of all, they didn't believe he wouldn't be there. And secondly, you're wondering, how in the world are we going to get to do what we want to do for the Lord? You see, as we focus on the people in this resurrection story, you know, last chapter of the Gospels, we usually cover Jesus rising from the dead. And we miss out on why it wasn't joyous that morning. When we gather on Easter, we're happy, aren't we? Because we can look back and see he rose. This story relates to us. And as we focus on the people involved other than Jesus, we can see ourselves. How is this going to work out? What can we do? Who will do this? They should have focused on one word. They should have focused on one word Jesus kept telling them, rise. If we focus on the resurrection, we're okay. Verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. They look up, they get there, and the problem the women had was taken care of. The stone was rolled away. In Matthew 28:2, read an angel rolled it away. This was God's work. Did you ever look back and say, well, I worried about nothing? It worked out. Don't you wish you'd know that up front? Well, we do, but we don't apply it. Oh, I didn't have to worry at all. Verse 5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed with, this is an angel, and a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. So they see this messenger, this angel, and they were alarmed. Why not excited? And we're going to see the answer to all these questions. Why not excited? They were alarmed. I mean, Jesus told them quite a few times what was going to happen. Verse 6, he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. What did Jesus say he would do? Rise. So they get there, and the angel, the messenger, has to tell them, hey, he's not here. He is risen. Come see where he was. Jesus did not lie. God cannot lie. All his promises are true. He cannot lie. We can believe his word. This impossible situation happened. Now, there should have been celebrating and joy and laughter among all the disciples that day, because that was foretold. Verse 7. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. He commanded the women to go and share that with everyone. Because probably no one believed it. Go share it with everyone, the good news with the disciples. And do you notice it says in here, and Peter? Go tell his disciples and Peter. Go tell his disciples and Jim. Go tell his disciples and so-and-so, any of you here. Why did he do that? Go tell his disciples and Peter that I'm going to Galilee. Go there and you'll see me. Again, they should have been really excited. I mean, if you lost someone and maybe you have in your life and someone told you, hey, they're really up in the LA area, go see them tomorrow, you'd be excited. Let's see if they're excited. Now, notice tell Peter also. Well, he was a disciple. But he said, go tell his disciples and Peter. Jesus made a point of making sure that Peter is told Jesus said hi. That's what he's doing. Jesus said to tell the disciples, and you, Peter, that he's alive and going to Galilee. Doesn't that make you feel better when someone singles you out? Tell so-and-so, too. Give them the good news. Peter, why did he do this? Peter never liked Jesus speaking about his death. He didn't like that. He always corrected Jesus, didn't he? Not so, Lord. Don't talk like that. We don't want you to be hurt and handed over and killed. When Jesus was taken captive, what did Peter do? The guy that said, I'll die for you. Oh, he meant deny. You see, Peter denied Jesus three times. I don't know the guy. I'm not one of them. Three denials. I don't know him. But wept after the rooster crowed. When we read that account of his denial, he heard the rooster crow and he wept. It was broken. His heart was broken. I let Jesus down. He was right. I was a coward. I didn't stand for him. I'm sure Peter felt miserable. What a horrible place to be when we deny the Lord. Though we forsake the Lord at times, he never forsakes us. Isn't that great? Though we're not faithful, the Bible says he is always faithful. Jesus loves us even in our worst hour. That's a good thing. I'm sure this was comforting to Peter when he heard, he said hi to me? He said to tell me? Oh, he's forgiven me. He's blessed me. He still loves me. So verse 8, they went out quickly. They listened and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Well, they were afraid, trembling and afraid. They should have been amazed. In Matthew 28:8, it says they went with fear and great joy, mixed emotions. Verse 9, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, this is the first appearance, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. This girl was demon-possessed. There's hope for everyone. It seems Mary Magdalene lingered in the garden and didn't run away right away. And Jesus, who was now risen, first appeared to her. And out of her, Jesus cast seven demons. Much was done for her, and she loved very much. So she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. So she went out to tell the disciples, and what were they doing? Mourning and weeping. Why were they mourning and weeping? Especially when someone comes and says, I saw him. They still don't believe. They were mourning and weeping, and it was the third day. And when they heard that he was alive, and had been seen by her, they rejoiced. That's not what my Bible says. They did not believe. What does it take? She shared with them. They did not believe. No joy. Why? It was too impossible. Too impossible. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And we know that's the encounter on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. Let's turn there. Just look at some of it. Luke 24. He appeared to two of those disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know, in verse 13, we see two of them were traveling a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked together, they were talking about all these things which had happened, about the crucifixion. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. They didn't recognize him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are what? Sad." So they're bummed out. They're walking on this road, getting out of Jerusalem, saying, "Man, what a horrible day. What horrible times these are." They were sad. Then one of those, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and you don't know the things which happen in these days?" And he said, "What things?" That ought to be interesting, huh? Did you ever find yourself in a conversation, you're telling someone a story, and realize they're the ones that first told you the story, and you feel like a fool after that? And what things? They said, "The things concerning Jesus, and how they condemned him and handed him over." And then he shares with them. And then verse 20, then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Are not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" It was all prophesied. And he shares with them again. And then they were getting near to the village, and he went on. They constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broken, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us?" Wow! Can you imagine having a Bible study with Jesus? Our heart burned when he was talking with us. What a wonderful encounter. But they were sad at first. So, back to our text, verse 14. Later, he appeared to the 11. Finally, he makes a personal appearance to the apostles, and as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. They still did not believe. They didn't believe even those that saw him. The message today is joy or mourning. There should have been joy in the morning, but there was mourning, not joy. What would you rather have today? Especially after reading this resurrection story. Would you rather have joy or mourning? We would probably say, if I were there, I'd be happy. We'd rather have joy. What do you think God would rather have us have? Joy or mourning? Joy. Why don't we always have joy? We're going to see. I believe we all see the problem of these characters. We read in our text today. The problem was not believing. A simple thing like not believing determines joy or mourning. Changes our life in every situation. Not believing. Not believing in the words of Jesus Christ. Not believing in his messengers. Not believing in the Bible. Not believing in the promises determines a good day or a bad day. based on believing or not believing. Jesus rebuked them in verse 14. He tells us the problem, because you did not believe. Your unbelief and hardness of heart. You don't believe. We are told in the scripture in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We can't rejoice in the circumstances. We can't rejoice in the situations in life. We can't rejoice in the world. But he says rejoice in the Lord. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. This world is a tough place. If we look at the world, we're in trouble. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Believe God's word. You know, God had a plan. Creation and then a new heaven and a new earth. All in between is about getting people to spend eternity with him in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? The women expected Jesus to be in the tomb. Look at all the problems, not believing. They expect him to be in the tomb. They didn't have to go buy the spices. They did not have to worry about who's going to roll the stone away. He said he would be risen. They should have stayed up all night, looking at that tomb. They would have seen the stone rolled away. Maybe they have it on video. The disciples should have been rejoicing on the third day. In verse 10, they were mourning and weeping. Verse 11, they did not even believe eyewitnesses. Verse 13, others did not believe. Joy or mourning, the choice is ours. It's based on believing or not believing God and his word. It's based on faith in God. Walking by faith, not by sight. People will say to Christians, you have a blind faith. And I say, you're blind if you don't have faith. In the God of the Bible, Jesus said in John 20, let's turn to John 20, verse 24. John 20, verse 24. Now, Thomas called the twin, one of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. And remember, he came in, and there were 11 there? He came in. Thomas wasn't there, though. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Now, he knows Jesus said he's going to rise on a third day. What did Thomas say? Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the nail, print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. In other words, my faith is based on what I see. Once I see it, then I'll believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Wow. How do you think Thomas felt? Then he said to Thomas, he points to Thomas, and he said, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Whoa, I don't know. Whew. That's kind of scary, putting my hand into his side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas said, no way, I'm not putting my hand in there. He answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He must have felt bad too. Why didn't I believe? I blew it. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We need to believe God's word without seeing. They were mourning, not rejoicing. If all the disciples just took Jesus at his word, what do you think they would have been doing on the third day? Probably preparing a feast. Celebrating. Anticipating. But they were mourning. Why? It says because of unbelief. The resurrection was too much for them to believe. Humanly impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Now, if we're to live in that place of joy, joy in the Lord, joy for what God has for us, joy in His word and promises, joy in what awaits us, we must believe God's word. We must believe it, that it's true. If we don't believe His word, we will be living and mourning quite often. We don't want to waste our days. Because in this world, we will have tribulation. But look at what Jesus says, John 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in Jesus, you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. You see, when we look to Christ, we're overcomers. We're going to have tribulation. But we know when we look to Him, we will overcome. We know by Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those that are called according to His purpose. We know that. We must believe that. Many promises, much comfort in the Bible, in God's word. John 15:11. Jesus speaks here, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." You see God's will for us? That we would have joy, not mourning. Our eyes on the world, isn't it easy to be mourning and weeping and complaining every day? It's so easy. Our real life is in heaven. Our real home is in heaven. This will all end. We can't lose if we're not here. We're going to be with the Lord. We can't lose. And He says, "I'm writing these things to you so that my..." You notice, He says, "my joy..." There's a lot of words we don't pick up on in the Bible sometimes. "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." How will our joy be full if His joy is in us? Now, what was His joy? In Hebrews it tells us, He went to the cross for the joy that was set before Him. He endured it and went through the shame and all. His joy was laying down His life for us. You see, that was His joy. Ministering others, blessing others. And that's where our joy will be. The same as Jesus, laying our life down for Him, then His joy will remain in us. If we're trying to get our joy or happiness from the world, it won't be there. It won't be there. This chapter today we read would read much different if all the disciples believed, wouldn't it? We would be reading something different in the resurrection story if they believed it. We would be reading things of celebrating, a joyous occasion. Just like we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, just because we heard of it and it's in the past, they would be doing that before it even happened if they believed. They missed out on that. They went through mourning and weeping. Let's close with this. Let's go to Psalm 30. Psalm 30, verse 4 and 5. "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You want mourning, or you want joy so that you leave here dancing? It's all on believing and trusting in the Lord. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your many benefits. We pray, Lord, today that we would leave here with joy in our heart. We go through many trials and tribulations, but we know you never leave us or forsake us, and you have a plan. We pray today, Lord, that these words would lead us in life, having faith, believing your word, and having our joy in you and the things that await us and the things we have in Jesus. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.